Good morning. It is Monday, September 19th, and things that are trending this hour, it is International Talk Like a Pirate Day. Also trending.
Wait, is it what?
International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
What does that mean?
You're supposed to talk like a pirate.
Like, arg.
Batten down the hatches.
Oh.
That sort of thing. Yeah. Also trending, Hurricane Fiona making second landfall in Dominican Republic. Most of Puerto Rico is in a blackout. Lots of floods, and they don't have power. And finally trending, and I say finally, Rob, finally, this is it.
No?
Queen Elizabeth's coffin has arrived at Windsor Castle. The funeral was attended by an estimated 2,000 guests, including world leaders and heads of state, including President Biden. The Queen will be laid to rest at St. George's Chapel next to her late husband, Prince Philip. The flowers, which you may have seen that were on top of her coffin during the procession,
yes,
were actually from her wedding.
Okay, so here is my question. How do you keep a flower for 8,000 years?
You can have it freeze-dried. Dry.
Really?
It. Yeah.
Okay, so my question to you was, when they go into Windsor Castle, what happens then? Where do they put, like, don't all the popes get buried together, like in the bowels of the Vatican? Is that the way it is with kings and queens? Are they all in there together?
Not all of them, but some of them.
Like, is Henry VIII in there with...
I don't know where he's buried. I think Catherine of Aragon might be in there, his first wife.
Okay.
It depends on where they want to be buried.
I just wondered, like, are they above ground? Is it like Lenin, where there's a glass case? You can go in there and look at them.
I believe Queen Victoria is above ground.
But I mean, is it like isn't Lenin still in a glass case where you can go look at Lenin's body? Remember, that was the thing for years and years and years. You could go look at this. Is that a thing with the kings and queens?
I don't know.
You're supposed to be the expert on all this.
You know what? I didn't look where she was going to be buried, though. I know it's next to Prince Philip.
I thought that
whatever
was part
that
of
means,
all
next
the,
to.
You
they'll
people,
be entombed inside Windsor Castle.
I thought that was part of the deal with all you women who have these delusional royal fantasies that you knew everything about this. I'm very disappointed.
Not everything. There's still stuff to learn. You know what, Rob? Just for you, I'll look that up and
Thank
we can
you.
Talk about it tomorrow.
Thank you very much. No, we're done. Today's it. Get it out. You got 1 hour to figure it out.
I was going to say, I thought you'd say, no, we're done. It is 8 minutes after 11. He's Rob Kendall. My name is Casey Daniels. And Trump held a campaign rally in Youngstown, Ohio. This was for the U.S. Senate nominee J.D. Vance. He was also there endorsing a few other people on the ballot. But of course, he's Donald Trump and he can't help himself. He actually started talking about money and asking how people were feeling about that.
Yes. So we should preface by saying every Trump rally, every rally that Trump holds is for Trump. And he allows other people to be there and will make it appear as though he's trying to help someone else. There were several good points he made in this rally. And one of them, and I thought was most prevalent, is he really lays out what's going on in this country, at least economically, right now. Take a listen.
The stock market just had one of the worst 7-day periods in history, and it actually had the 7 worst day. Think of it, 7 worst day in the history of our country. It's been one of the worst years for stocks in history. How are your 401ks doing? Not too good. People are getting wiped out. It wouldn't have happened. There was no reason for it. Inflation just reached another historic high. Congratulations. Surging food, energy, and electricity prices are busting family budgets, crushing small businesses and causing shortages, suffering, mayhem, and despair. Yet Biden and the Democrat Congress keep spending us further and further into oblivion, pouring fuel on the inflation fire and incinerating trillions of dollars of middle-class wealth. They're doing it at a level that nobody ever thought possible. And Mitch McConnell ought to get on the ball and stop it in the Senate.
And this is what people need to realize. And Trump, I don't know if he meant to, but he's making a good point. Mitch McConnell and the Republicans have facilitated so much of this spending because they have allowed the Democrats, they have participated in continually funding the federal government under Schumer and Biden. Todd Young and Mitch McConnell have numerous times voted to continue to fund the federal government, which not only have they voted to do it, which is wrong, they have not forced the Democrats to blow through their reconciliations. There's only so many reconciliations you can do every year. And by not forcing the Democrats to blow through their reconciliation votes to do essential government function, it gave them the reconciliation votes on things like the Biden Green Dream. The reason that stuff was allowed to pass is because Todd Young and Mitch McConnell and the Republicans voted time and again with Democrats to fund the federal government. Mm-hmm. 100% right.
Yeah, and he's not wrong. The S&P 500 fell by almost 10% in the past month. The NASDAQ taking a big hit, falling 12%. So currently, the S&P 500 heading for a big annual loss, one of the biggest since 2008. The Great Recession. But we're not in a recession right now. Remember that. Yeah. You've been told.
Yes.
We're not in a recession right now.
Now, Trump also made the case for voting Republican in the fall. Mm-hmm. And Casey, I'd like to play this mm-hmm. audio, and then you and I, let's do a little role play and ponder exactly what we get mm-hmm. if we vote Republican
okay.
this fall.
Are laying waste to Democrat-run cities. The southern border has been completely erased. We no longer have a border. Think of it. 2 years ago, we had the strongest border in the history of our country. We no longer have a border. Our country is being invaded. It's an invasion by millions of illegal aliens from all over the planet. And left-wing sickos are pumping toxic anti-American propaganda into the minds of our beautiful youth. They're destroying our youth. The choice this November is simple. If you want to continue this national catastrophe, vote for the radical left Democrats. Do it. Go ahead. You won't have a country left. If you want to stop the destruction of America and really reinvigorate that good old-fashioned American dream, you must vote Republican. Have to do it.
Okay, Casey, let's role play, shall we?
Sure.
I'll be the inquisitive voter.
Okay.
Trying to make up my mind. Mm-hmm. And you be the Republican congressional / Senate candidate, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Madam candidate, if I vote for Republicans this fall, mm-hmm. what will I get?
Well, Nancy Pelosi might retire.
Oh. Let me ask it another way. Uh-huh. If I vote for Republicans this fall, how will my life be more beneficial?
Well, they might put Title 42 back in place.
Let me phrase it another way. If I vote Republican this fall, what platforms do you have to ensure my existence will be better than it currently is?
Oh. Well, they could stop the weaponization of the DOJ.
Let me phrase it another way. If I were to pull the lever for the Republicans this year, what are the four things you are pledging to do and stand behind that will benefit me as a U.S. consumer and taxpayer in this country?
Okay, here's the only answer that I have that's real. Rand Paul can investigate Fauci.
That's it. This is the point. There's no yeah. platform. There's no nothing. Yes, what Trump is saying is true. Mm-hmm. The Democrats are destroying America, but the Republicans don't stand for anything either. There's nothing they're offering you that they say, if you vote for us, we will fill in the blank, which you would say, wow, things are going to get markedly better if we vote for you.
That's exactly what I have in my notes, Rob. The biggest problem here, what do they stand for? We need a contract with America. What are the talking points? And a large chunk of independent swing voters are fiscally conservative, yet socially liberal. But the Republicans have failed at being fiscally conservative, so they're not going to get those independents who they need. They need the base and they need independents. And they're blowing off the independents.
This would be the question I will ask to every single Republican. I would ask to every single Republican running for public office. So at a national level. So in the state of Indiana, we've got two of those this year. You got the Duke of Spendingburg, Todd Young, who's up for re-election. And then, you know, you've got your U.S. Congress person. So in this case, mine would be Jim Baird, who is a total zero as a congressman and totally worthless. If I vote for you, since you were a part of the problem that was created, which was the mass unaccountable magical money printing factory and emboldening and enabling Dr. Fauci and the goof troop, what am I going to get that's going to be different? Every single Republican should have to answer this question, because Trump is right. The Democrats are destroying this country, but the Republicans have destroyed it too. So if I vote for you, Todd, what's going to be different this time? Todd already told me in a room full of people, I'm not stopping spending the money. So what's the difference? What is the difference between McDermott and Todd Young? What is the difference? And then you suggest, well, you know, there's a third party who actually has pledged to be super fiscally accountable and responsible and will not do deficit spending. And well, but the libertarians, well, they can't win. You're right. Because you've said, no matter what, I will kneel at the altar of one of these two colossal failures, Tom McDermott or Todd Young.
Yeah. So what? It comes down to wedge issues, because they're both spending.
Sure.
Like crazy. So then it will come down to these social issues.
We have one more clip from Trump before we go to a break. And this is a phenomenal roasting of the deep state and government officials who try to destroy him.
For six straight years, I've been harassed, investigated, defamed, slandered, and persecuted like no other president and probably like no one in American history. Yet all I have ever wanted and all we've ever fought for is to simply, very simply, make America great again. The unhinged persecution of me and my staff, and they go into people that know me and they threaten them with jail time. Unless you say something bad about Trump, they're threatening them. These people are sick. They're sick.
All right. We're going to get to a break.
Yeah, he's going to be in North Carolina next week. And they've also announced that Donald Trump will return to Michigan again. Remember, he said he was never coming back to that state again. But he is. He's going to be there October 1st,
sure.
38 days before the election. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Good morning. So a television icon is currently celebrating his 40th season of peddling vowels, but now he's suggesting that those days could be numbered. Pat Sajak possibly hinting that he will retire from Wheel of Fortune. He said, years go by fast. We're getting near the end. It's been a long time. We're not going to do this for another 40 years. The end is near. It's an honor to have been in people's living rooms for so long.
So Pat Sajak, I had no idea he was this old. Pat Sajak will be 76 years old. I would not have thought Pat Sajak was that old. Pat Sajak, a fairly prominent, also Republican, which is interesting. He's made it that long in Hollywood.
Right.
Now he is not a like super conservative Republican, but he's you know, a well-known public Republican. He also, which is, I did not know this, started reading a bunch of stuff about him, got that job in whatever it was, I guess 1982. The show began in 1975. It was a Merv Griffin deal originally. And he got the job after being a local weatherman in Los Angeles. He was not some big nationally known guy. And whoever was running the show at the time, one of the creators, I think, fought really hard for him, and to the point where they threatened to shut the show down if they didn't pick him as the host. And boy, talk about getting it right.
Yeah, because he's had one heck of a career. That could be happening to you. You know, you co-hosted with the show on Wish TV with Hammer this weekend, the betting show. There could be somebody who saw you.
No, I have no...
And wants you to host a daytime game show.
Nope. Let me tell you why, Casey. Let me tell you why, and I've said this for years. Well, there's two reasons.
Because you let your opinions be too known?
Well, they would obviously not have a grenade thrower like me on any sort of television anything. But two major reasons. Number one, I chose radio because by radio standards, I'm a solid 8, maybe an 8.5. Like, I mean, what males do I get compared to around here? Hammer, Nigel, and Katz. It's a very low bar to hop over to be the best looking regular guy in the building. However, TV,
yeah,
I'm nowhere near Phil Sanchez.
Oh, that's a whole lot of maintenance to do to be on camera.
And you just hit the good point, which was the effort it takes to get ready for television. Mm-hmm. Like, my effort to get ready takes about 15 minutes, Casey, to get out the door. I take a shower. I put this lovely sweatshirt on, some shorts, and I am out. And I am here,
yeah.
And I am doing the thing.
You're not doing the makeup and the Botox and the wardrobe. And
yesterday was awful. I had to find pants. I had to use the lint roller. I had to put a jacket on. I get ready to leave yesterday. My wife looks at me and goes, "Would you like some makeup?" I said, "What would I like makeup for? I'm a man." She goes, "Oh, men wear makeup on television all the time."
Yes,
I said,
"Do
you lie, woman?"
No, and we're gonna have a talk about that off the air.
But later. You told me that's true. You're a TV person.
Absolutely, that's true.
Men wear makeup.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Why?
Because you still want to look good.
But I look great anyway.
It's a distraction when you look tired.
Now, when you say men wear makeup
on TV, many of them do.
Like, a lot? Is it, like, noticeable?
Well, no. That's the thing. Well, I bet you Phil Sanchez has a little compact.
Absolutely. He's such a naturally beautiful person. No way.
He is naturally, but I'm sure he enhances, if nothing else, to get the shine off of his face.
No kidding.
From the lights and the lighting grid.
It was just a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. I mean, it took probably 30 minutes instead of 15 to get out the door yesterday. It was just, I had to do my hair. It's a lot of effort. No. I'm a radio person.
So back to Wheel of Fortune,
yes.
By the way. Do you remember watching the show when the prizes would spin around and the winner would pick out what they wanted? Based on what was on the carousel?
No. Like,
yeah. You don't remember that, do you?
No.
So, like, it was a big carousel of prizes that would spin around, and the winner would say, like, "I'm going to buy the ceramic Dalmatian for $400.
No, I don't remember this. The only thing I remember is whoever would get the most money would win, and then there would be the bonus round where you'd have to, you know, figure out the phrase.
Yeah, no, the prizes used to spin around, and the people would shop. If they had $8,000,
no kidding,
they would go through, and sometimes there was money left over because there wasn't an item.
When you think about Wheel of Fortune and how many homes it's been in since 1982, and that consistently has been Pat Sajak for the most part. There were, you know, some minor changes. Pat Sajak, I know, went and did a late night talk show, I think, for CBS at one point. But
yeah, I did.
But by and large, either through the daytime version or then the syndicated evening version. I mean, think about over 40 years, especially in older people's homes. Like my grandparents, every night it was Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
And so you think about the amount of people that have watched, not just casually, but have destination viewed Pat Sajak and Vanna White over the years. It's got to be a staggering number of people.
And how much the show has changed over the years. Their new executive producer says, "I'm looking forward to celebrating all the ways the show has become a staple in so many living rooms," to your point, Rob. But she went on to say, "We also hope it will grow to see its 50th season and beyond."
Wow.
So regardless of when and if Pat Sajak retires, the producers of the show plan to keep on going.
All right, let's do a little before we get to a break, little Wheel of Fortune role play here, okay? I'll be, and we don't have a cry on where people can see it. Let me do this in my head here.
What are you
One,
doing?
Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. It's nine letters. The first letter starts with T. The last letter is a G. And your hint is, has added $11 trillion to the national debt.
Would you like to buy a vowel? Of course you can, but inflation made those vowels cost more. Oh, Duke of Spendingburg does not fit in nine letters. Am I close?
That's good
stuff. Do I win the ceramic Dalmatian? like Dubai. It's Todd Young he's talking about. It's 11:28. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So the mayor of New York, Scott Adams, called the border crisis a humanitarian crisis and said that New York City received a minimum of 6 buses on Saturday and claimed that over 11,000 asylum seekers and migrants have come to his city since May. Now, keep in mind, Martha's Vineyard also said it was a humanitarian crisis with just 0.0025% of the border crisis. Now, there have been nearly 2 million migrant encounters this year alone so far, on top of the 1.7 million encounters in 2021 that happened actually in Texas.
Isn't it weird that all these sanctuary cities or liberal havens that are now so upset about the migrants being here are not proposing any solutions to how to stop them from being here, right? There's no call. Joe Biden must immediately secure the southern border. They want them here. The liberals want them here. They just don't want them where they are.
Mm-hmm. They want them here, but not there.
So the mayor of New York, which I don't know, I guess is still a sanctuary city, kind of all over the map. I mean, can you be a sanctuary city if you now say you don't want the people that you originally wanted, but then you say you want the people, but you don't want to? Isn't it just a really weird vortex we're in here right now? Isn't it? It's like we just keep spinning around and around and around and around and around because you still claim you want the people to be in the country and be taken care of, just not in the country and be taken care of by you because you don't have the resources to do it. Anyway, the mayor of New York, Eric Adams, was on with Jake Tapper on CNN, and he has asked directly. Now, this is a guy who has said, hey, we don't have the resources to help these people. We need help, blah, blah, blah. And he gets asked, should Biden close the southern border? And he says no.
So you're struggling to process the 2,500 migrants sent to you from Texas. Meanwhile, the El Paso sector of the border sees an average of 1,700 migrants crossing every single day. A record 1.9 million migrants have been apprehended on the southwest border this fiscal year alone. Even if you think what these governors are doing is horrific, it seems like you agree this is a crisis that needs more attention from the Biden administration.
No, I believe it's a crisis that needs more coordination from our country.
Who's the leader of the country?
What does that mean? You need more coordination from the country. No, I don't need any more attention from the Biden administration. And by attention, I mean solving the problem, which means shutting down the southern border. No. We just need more coordination from the country, which comes back to they want the illegal immigrants. They just don't want them where they are.
I read that he is considering cruise ships to house migrants.
Oh, so it's COVID all over again.
Yeah. Those that are being bused to the East Coast, they're considering putting them on cruise ships.
So how does that work? We just let them sit in the harbor? Like what? How does that even? Then what? They just live their lives on a boat?
I'm on a boat. This is a problem for the country to figure out. We need more help from the country.
Okay, so then he gets asked, and I give Jake Tapper some credit. He committed some confused, random, probably accidental acts of journalism here in this interview. And look, CNN is clearly, I'm not going to say they're going more right, but they're going less radical left. There's clear a memo's gone out. But he got asked, you know, hey, look, Eric Adams, you said you're going to keep your pledge to remain a sanctuary city, even though you don't want the people, which would be the people you'd have if you were a sanctuary city. Has that had any sort of impact on illegal immigration? And Adam says no.
You pledged during your campaign to keep New York City a sanctuary city. Do you have any concern that policy is attracting more people to the border? More people to cross the border to make that dangerous trip?
No, not at all. This city has always been a sanctuary city, and we've always managed those who wanted to come to New York City to pursue the American dream.
Help, Casey. Because on one hand, he says, we don't have the resources to take care of you people, and it's not fair they're being dropped here. But then he says, we're still a sanctuary city, and they want to take care of the people that are here illegally. It's like, it's almost like the actions don't match the words.
So during another interview on ABC, he would not say whether he agreed with Kamala Harris's claim that the border is secure. Instead, he said, "We continue to coordinate better to make sure that it's secured properly."
Isn't it secure, not secure, coordinating,
but we need the country's help in this, not the president's.
We talk about this all the time. Isn't it a weird thing to be so wed to politics and ideology that you will not say the obvious, right? It's like reasonable people can disagree and political parties are going to have disagreements. But I've always found this so bizarre that you are so wed to a letter or a political party or whatever that you will refuse to state the obvious. And the obvious is the border is completely out of control.
Well, not according to the mayor of New York City, because he's claiming that DeSantis and Abbott are sending migrants to these sanctuary cities to cover up their positions on abortion and guns.
Just over a year ago, you...
Completely different topic.
And yet, then, to wrap all this up, so we can get off this guy and hopefully not have to talk about him for a while because he's ridiculous and awful.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, despite all this problem, all the stuff going on, all the things that they can't take care of, the people they can't take care of, he tells the illegal immigrants, keep coming.
Just over a year ago, you tweeted, quote, "New York City will remain a sanctuary city under an Adams administration." What is your message to migrants arriving in the U.S.? Should they still come to New York City?
Well, I think that they should come to any place in the country that they desire their pursuit of the American dream.
Come anywhere.
So don't come to us. Mm-hmm. We don't have the resources, but come anywhere you want. Follow the American dream. Keyword is American dream, right? And this is a big part of what the left is doing, which is if you can dilute and limit what it means to be an American, right? We are blessed by birth in the system of governance and rules and oversight and laws that our founders set forth, that we are blessed by birth to be American citizens because we were born here.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just get lucky, right? And we're not taught to appreciate that. We're not taught to covet that. We're not taught to cherish that because public education system, by and large, is more and more aggressive and has more and more animosity towards American exceptionalism every single day. But being an American is something special. It is something unique. And to become that is something special and unique unless you strip what it means to become an American citizen and the difficulty and the work that is involved in that process. And that's what the Democrats and the left are trying to do.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Now, before we get into break, let's talk about Reagan's house.
Oh.
So the former owner of the 76ers, Michael Rubin, has bought Ronald Reagan's old property and paid $70 million for it. Now, this is not the ranch in Santa Barbara. This was a place in L.A. It was a mansion there. Of course it was. Features 7 bedrooms, 12 bathrooms, and a laundry list of amenities. 3 stories tall, located near the famous Sunset Strip. It kind of overlooks that portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
So Reagan owned this property many years ago. And I'm curious. I didn't even know it was for sale.
Wow, boy, you would have been right there in the middle of the bidding. No
I know.
Doubt.
I would have been right there. Would you make, if you bought someone like Ronald Reagan's former home, by the way, it was originally listed for $80 million.
Wow.
So the 76ers owner got a deal by only paying $70. If you were to buy a home like that, knowing that the previous owner was Ronald Reagan, would you take an entire room and pay homage to him? Like, would you have like a Ronald Reagan themed room?
No. And
no?
I also don't understand people who pay premiums to live in a house or drive a car that somebody else drove or lived in, mm-hmm. or whatever you see all the time. This was so-and-so's house.
Like owning John Voight's car?
Like in Seinfeld?
Yeah.
I've always been perplexed by that, that people will pay huge premiums in order to...
Mean anything to you, even though it was a patriot like Ronald Reagan.
Now, if this was something where, because again, this is not, you know, where Reagan did a lot of his doings in terms of, you know, coming up with great American policy, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever. Now, if something of immense historical significance happened in that, you know, house or, you know, something, then okay. But this is just a house in Los Angeles, of all places,
that he just happened to own.
That Ronald Reagan just happened to own. So
yeah.
I don't get overly sentimental about that, but clearly this guy had a few dollars laying around to spend $70 million. Plus, I would never, ever live in Los Angeles.
Right. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Thanks for being here this morning. So let's head to Walmart so you can do a withdrawal from your bank account. Wait, what? Yeah, Walmart is testing out a new banking platform. It's for a selection of their employees. It's a trial run, and it could reshape banking as we know it. So they're offering checking accounts to several thousand of their employees in the next coming weeks. It's a beta test. And then they eventually want to pass that out to the 1.6 million employees they have, and then eventually pass that out to their 150 million weekly shoppers.
This is really interesting because it is another example of how a select group of companies are occupying all of the space or trying to occupy all of the space. Like, you think about Amazon. Like, what space in American life, world life now, you know, they ship all over the world, does Amazon not occupy?
Touch, right. Anything you need.
Yeah, I mean,
Amazon, it could be here tomorrow. It,
absolutely.
End of the day, even in some cases.
And so what you're seeing is, and look, it's a free market. You know, people can succeed where they can succeed, and that's great. But when you have a select group of people or a select group of companies controlling so much of the space when it comes to commerce, and in this case, you're looking at potentially the flow of money and mm-hmm. access to capital, while there may be some convenience aspects to it, it is not... It is an endeavor that is riddled with opportunity to not end well, because once you have taken away your opportunity of choice, those, you know, there's an old saying, those who control the gold make the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while it may work well for you to be in the Walmart side of the banking industry, once they've eliminated certain competitors, then they start making all the rules.
Well, and that's their hope. It's ease of banking. So they have the infrastructure to really make a dent. 5,335 stores across the United States. 90% of the population lives within 10 minutes of a Walmart.
Sure.
So imagine that, how easy it would be. I'm just going to do my banking right down the road at Walmart while I go in there and buy some apples and a plunger and...
Yeah,
and a wrench and
look, I'm not saying
craft products, whatever you need, it's all there at Walmart.
For a lot of these people that may use it, maybe it is super convenient, maybe it does work out well for you. I'm not saying they shouldn't be able to do it. What I'm saying is we see this more and more often, in which people, small businesses, mom and pop, Main Street companies are forced out of business
mm-hmm.
because gigantic conglomerates, corporations, whatever, are allowed to occupy more and more space. Okay, but those people got to go have somewhere to go work. They got to have somewhere to do something to do. They've got to be able to, you know, feed their families, pay their mortgage, whatever. And when you keep allowing more and more people in or fewer and fewer companies to occupy more and more space, that is not good, has the potential to be not good long term for this country.
So they're going to start out with checking accounts and eventually move into loans and investments as well. I got my got my mortgage from Walmart.
And remember,
that's the direction it could go.
Walmart is one of those companies that is so big. You know, it's for some companies, oh, it's a gigantic risk they're taking by trying this large, you know, endeavor in the field they've never been in before. Walmart's big enough that the risk of failure will never preclude them from trying. And that's, like I said, I don't mean to sound like, when I was a child, the world was a better place. But this is mildly concerning to me.
Yeah, Walmart definitely has a leg up on the competition in the banking market if this is something that they decide to roll out not only to their employees, but their customers on a national level. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. And before we leave for the day, let's talk about the apple orchard, shall we?
Yeah.
So I've been reading that the weather is slated to turn cooler next week. We had a really nice weekend, lots of sunshine. It was hot. The storm rolled in last night. This week is going to be pretty mild, but I believe this may be the last week of more summer type temperatures.
Sure.
And then things are going to start cooling off and feel more like fall. So I thought it would be time to take a bite out of Indy's top ranked apple orchard. Now, this list was created with the help of Yelp and Terry Stacey. Because she knows everything.
Oh, yeah. She's perfect for this.
And she's been to all of these places. And I'm curious if you've been to any of these and if you have any favorites. So there's Anderson Orchard in Mooresville.
You've been there.
You've been there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They've got the You Pick Apples. And they have the Apple Festival and Craft Fair that is taking place this weekend.
Yes.
There's Tuttle Orchards. That's in Greenfield. You can do a hayride, a corn maze, and even a tractor ride there. Apparently, they have apple cider slushies there. Have you been to this one?
No, I've been to two of these, the Anderson and then Beasley's in Danville. And let's just be honest.
Yeah.
This is a total woman endeavor that men get drug along to.
You think
because
so?
Because it may, whether it's picking the, Jaden's laughing because he knows it's absolutely unequivocally true. This is something that almost every year I get shipped out to, and you got to put a smile on your face and let's pay $83 for a pumpkin somewhere that would be like $6 somewhere else, but we got it at the apple orchard.
But and don't you enjoy the cider and the donuts? The apple,
I enjoy the $7.83 cup of cider, and the apples are great, and it's a phenomenal, yes, it's wonderful.
You're going for the experience, Rob.
Everybody can read about where they'll be being drugged to if you're a man at WIBC.com, right?
Yep, it's right there on the side piece. Just look for the top-ranked apple orchards. Thanks, Rob. Good job, Jaden. Have a wonderful afternoon, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. It's 93 WIBC.